You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Is it time for a new heating and cooling system? Turn to the experts at Griffith Energy Services and Carrier today and get 0% financing for 18 months on a new heating and cooling system. Get the comfort you deserve from Griffith Energy Services and Carrier. Visit GriffithEnergyServices.com today for this and other exclusive offers. That's GriffithEnergyServices.com. License number MDHVACR01-2278.
Griffith Energy Services. Doggone dependable.
Hey, don't forget the Johnsons are coming over. I want to find a rosé Jill hasn't tried yet.
Let's go exploring at Total Wine. Their prices are ridiculously low.
Wondrous selection, helpful guides, always low prices. Total Wine and more.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Fatback Four. I'm Gav. You can see Matt. You can see Grizz. I think Matt's making a phone call. I think he's ordering a Chinese or something. I'm not too sure where he's at. But we are here for the next 50 minutes or so. If you have any comments, throw them in. What are we going to speak about? We're going to have a little look at the match later on. We're going to have a look at panic probably setting in. Grizz, you're our agenda, man. What's first up on the agenda? Hit me.
I thought we'd discuss pre-season thus far.
Okay, all right. So how do you feel pre-season has gone for thus far, Chris?
Go on, my agenda, I'll give it to Matt first.
Okay. Matt, how do you feel this season or this pre-season has gone thus far?
You know me, I said it last year and the year before, it means nothing. Until the last 2-3 games, it means nothing. It's good we're seeing a few of the kids. Brewster's getting in the goals, but it's all about fitness. That's all it is. It's, I mean, even when we look at Klein's performance, it doesn't mean that much going into the season because he'll pick up a lot more than that. It's the first game back, second game back for a lot of people. The team's just gelling. They're not even fit. They can only just about do 45 minutes. So at the moment, for me personally, I don't read too much into it. It's just good to see a little bit of football.
It is an awful lot about fitness. It showed the second half of the game the other night. He kept the original 11 on for 15 minutes and pushed them right to the limit, showing that it was more about fitness than the result, because consequently we conceded 2 goals in those 15 minutes. Grizz, for you, pre-season so far, we've another game on tonight, 11 p.m. kickoff. We'll have more on that later. How do you feel it's gone? You know, fitness is obviously the main thing, but anyone there that's impressed or not impressed?
I'm a little bit disagreeing with Matt, where I think it's very important for like the fringe players. I've said this before as well. Look, the players that we know are the first team members, it doesn't matter how they play in pre-season because it's all about fitness for them. But players like Klein, Mignolet, your Kents, your Wilsons, your Woodburns, your fringe players, you know. All right, we can maybe allow the Kents and the Wilsons and Woodburns because they're young and we don't really know if they've got a long-term future. You know, they may go on loan or they may be around the club. Fair enough. But players like Klein and Mignolet, Gav, we watched a game the other day and I watched it with you. And for me, it just showed how much we haven't missed them. Do you know, regardless of whether it's a preseason friendly or whatever it is, you know, I look at them and I smile inside and think how far we progressed. Because a couple of seasons ago, these were first team members, and you know, a lot of people were saying like these are our sort of mainstays, you know, solid, reliable, Mignolet and Klein. Do you know what I mean? More so Klein. But to me, it showed how advanced we've become. Where Klein looks, you know, I wouldn't want to see Klein in that team now, Gaff. I'm at that point now where I think, you know, Klein doesn't even get into my squad.
Yeah, for me, like I said it going, you know, for the first couple of games we played in England before we went to America, you know, no one really had a bad time. There's a couple of standouts, Brewster being the obvious one, but the other night, Mignolet, just your hands are in your head every time, you know, as soon as it goes near him. And Klein, just defensively not bad, but asking him to play on the ball just wasn't happening. He ran it out of play about three times. And look, it could be just a bit, given the benefit of the doubt, let's see how tonight goes, because the chances are he'll get another run out tonight. And if so, let's see how he goes. But he didn't do himself any favours. And for me, I still think he'd be sold before the window closes. Matt, I don't know if you've seen the game the other night. I would doubt it. Would have been that
no.
Mad hour where you were. But just a couple of things on it. The first half, we looked quite bright. We looked, you know, there's a bit of invention going on. We could get through Dortmund. Any chances they had was literally down to us and mistakes we made. And I don't know if you'll watch the match tonight, because it'll probably, again, it's a mad late for you. But when you wake up in the morning, you'll probably watch the highlights or whatever.
He doesn't watch any game. People don't know. He doesn't watch any.
I don't like football.
He doesn't
even
like
in
it.
The season, he doesn't watch any Liverpool
he's
games.
He's still on a high from that British fellow winning the gold today. But for you, Matt, like, I know you probably won't watch it, but when you wake up in the morning, you might watch some highlights and stuff. What would you like to see come out tomorrow or tonight? Where it's the second game in America. It's the next stage in fitness. Is it just fitness you want to see, or is it now time where players that need to make a mark are kind of running out of space, running out of time, I mean, sorry?
Nah, again, we've only had two days in between these games. It's just sharpness and fitness, that's all it is. I think people should try to see this more as a training session on TV. That's how I view it. And that's all it is at the moment. You get to see, as I said, a few of the young kids. You get to see Brewster, which is good, and he does look sharp. But laying into Klein, I think, is a bit harsh. If Mane came back and he had half a game and he was off the ball, would you be jumping on him saying he's not good enough? No, of course not. You give him a chance. Klein, we all know his limitations. Klein is what he is. If we keep him, he'll be great to give Trent a rest for the 10, 12 games against shit. Because we don't need Trent in every game. We've got enough attacking players for like the League Cup and maybe some of the FA Cup rounds and in the league games, people like fucking Aston Villa or whoever. And we won't need Klein and we won't need Trent. So this is good games to put Klein in. Because you never know, Gomez could be starting a centre-back. So who do you rest then? If Gomez is a centre-back, who have you got coming in on the right? If you do sell him, then we're looking for a left-back and a right-back then, and it makes it a lot more difficult.
Yeah, I know that. No, I know. I get what you're coming from with Mane coming back and this and that, but, you know, I have no problem with a player being just a bit off-form. The thing about Klein for me the other night is that defensively he looked okay. One or two iffy moments, but majority of it okay. It was when we asked him to take the ball, receive a pass and try and link with the player that was Wilson and Oxlade-Chamberlain a lot the other night, or even get it back into the middle of midfield to Fabinho, Milner, or look for Origi up front. He just hadn't got it, Matt. He just hadn't got it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not debating his defensive side of his game. What I'm saying is, if you get rid of Trent, you know, for a game or two where he might be unfit or injured or a suspension or a little bit off form, you have to change every single way you play when you put Klein in there as opposed to Trent. That's just why I think he won't fit going forward. If in a, in 10, he would fit in one or two games if we needed it, but 10 or 15 games, I wouldn't like to see Klein on their side for 10 or 15 games next season if we had a problem with Trent Alexander-Arnold. That's just the way it's coming from me. Mick is saying I'm being a bit harsh. I probably am, but I'm just going on what I've seen from Klein. He went out on loan because he didn't think he was going to get into this side. He comes back. Somebody else has mentioned Hoover. I fully endorse that. I would have no problem with Hoover being at right back because I think defensively he's very good. And I think going forward, he seems to have a lot more idea of what he's doing as opposed to Klein. Great, sorry, I interrupted you. While I was speaking, I interrupted you. Go on.
No, I interrupted you, sorry. What I was going to say is, even the young kid at left back, Lerucci, look how comfortable he looked in possession in the opposition half. And I think people underestimate, and I don't think people have moved on. I think a lot of people haven't moved on from this notion that fullbacks are there to sort of just, you know, cover that right back slot and make sure they're solid. I don't think Klopp wants his fullbacks to be like that. Otherwise, Klein would still be at the club. Klein would probably still be number one right back, you know. I think he asks a lot more of his fullbacks, and maybe we are being a bit harsh on Klein, but I just don't think Klein's up to it. I actually think if he stayed, let's be realistic, is he fourth choice?
So I don't know.
Trent's ahead of him. Gomez is ahead of him.
Yeah, but is Gomez right back now?
No,
he's not. But I think he's going to be utilised there, especially with the emergence of Matip as, you know, probably starting centre-back alongside VVD. I'm just looking at the overall squad selection, Matt. I think he's likely to go because of the fact that he's probably third, fourth choice. I'd probably say Milner's ahead of him as well, you know, if there was an option.
Shouldn't be an option.
He's ahead of Hoover. Hoover's a bit young, but you can see the raw talent in Hoover. As you said, Gav, on the ball, he looked classy and silky. You know, he looked to... You compared him to Zanetti, I think.
Yeah, I did.
Which was a bit of a mad shout.
No, it wasn't a mad shout because you weren't listening and you weren't thinking about it when I said it. The reason I said Zanetti
don't say
was because...
Don't say for the listeners. Don't say.
No, listen, I can't get any worse than your pitch fucking explanation the other night anyway, so I can go with this. The reason I mentioned Zanetti was because Zanetti always reminded me of a really classy footballer that could defend. He could play in midfield, you know, and in that area of the pitch. But up front, when he was up that end of the pitch, he never seemed to panic. He seemed to know what to do with the ball all the time. That's why I said Zanetti. And you were just being racist because I didn't, you know, say Cafu or something like that. That's the truth of it. It is the truth of it, isn't it, Matt?
Stop it, Jeff. I was calling
very unlike you.
A cross between VVD and Trent in terms of he had the elegance and class sort of a VVD, and he had the passing and the technique of striking the ball of Trent. So, you know, that's why I said it. But no problem, fair enough. You know, I'll take Zanetti comparison, no problem.
Okay.
But we move on.
Paddy says, Grizz, you're a sexy fucker. Matt is my hero and Gav is the leader of men. We didn't even pay him to say that. I'll drop a fiver over to him during the week, though.
I think that's fair enough. Yeah, all three comments, I think that's fair enough.
Yeah, no, like, you know, Maverick there says Klein is okay. We don't need to overanalyze him. He'd be fine for 10 to 15 games. I don't agree. Look, it could happen. I don't agree. I could be wrong. I'm probably wrong more than I'm right, but I just don't agree on it. Lads, we have to move on to some transfer talk and some... Well, it's not transfer talk, because there's no transfers happening, but just people's take on this, and from what I can make out, a lot of people are panicking. Now, we are 15 minutes or so into this show, and comments are flying in here with regards to Matt, what's the name of the player, you know? Grizz, tell us who it is, this, that, and the other. Somebody come on very early and said a Pepe bid is being made. So, Matt, are you panicking? Are you completely at ease with this? And B, do you still think something happens? And C, what's the name? Just tell us.
I'm not panicking at all. This team now, not just Klopp and his coaches, but the full team which is looking after Liverpool Football Club, have earned the right for our trust. Everything that they've done, just go right back to the very beginning and look at, like, if you look at beginning from where Edwards came in and took that role upon himself and started making all the transfers, look at who they put in, look at the team they built from that, from, oh yeah, okay, look at just after Rodgers left and from, go from there, look at where the club is now. We've 4 years, we've had three European finals. You can't really blame the transfer team and the coaching staff for losing them two finals, because one of them, we had a player who had brain farts, and then the other one, we had another player who had brain farts. And this is, and we lost two finals because of it. We could be three European Cups up here. So just give them the time. They know what they're doing. They see every day the players at the training ground. They know exactly who they want. And we've trusted them this far, and they've got us this far. So I don't understand why people are panicking and going about why demanding transfers when, like, Klopp knows what he needs for this team a lot more than we do. And think back to the old Liverpool days, and we used to always bring kids through the academy, so maybe people want a striker. What if that stifles Brewster and then we never actually get to see him and we sell him on? If Klopp thinks he's good enough, then I'm happy with giving Brewster the chance this season. He's seen him a lot more than I have and a lot more than we have. But number two, saying that, I do think we bring someone in the attacking position. And yeah, I think we definitely bring someone in up front, either wide or central. We may get a left back, a young one. That's my guess.
Okay. Chris, are you panicking at all over this? Like, I'll give my opinion in a minute because I've had a good think about this today, because I thought it might be the main topic that we hit on for the show. But is there any panic from you, or do you just think, like Kev saying there, it's not panic. It's you keep looking to improve. People will argue that.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. I see that.
Yeah, no, that's.
But I mean, just touching quickly. You look at the average age of our team. And most players, I think it's general consensus that players reach their peak around 27, 28. Most of our team is under that age. So but we are improving just through Klopp's coaching, an extra year of him. We got, I know everyone hates saying it, but Ox coming back is like a new signing. And we've got the young players as well. And Naby Keita's got another season under his belt where he's a lot more settled in the area now. He's integrating the team a lot more. So we've got him. So just by the theory of most players peak at 27, 28, the team is still improving. They're still on the upward trajectory of their career. So we should, in theory, improve as a team without buying anyone. Bring that into play where we've got players maturing from the youth setup, like Brewster and like the left backs and Hoovers and people like that. Then as a squad, we're also getting better. Obviously, it's the easy, quicker way is to buy someone, but Klopp's got the trust in his own coaching ability, and so have I.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Chris, go on, what were you going to say there?
I was going to agree with Matt, most of what Matt's saying, except the end bit where he's sort of change now, because he does that. Where the end bit where he adds, it's not a panic, but I can totally understand the frustration if we don't bring someone in. Oh. See, what it is, I find, and it happens, no, it doesn't happen every summer, but I thought it might not happen this summer, where we've just come off an amazing season points tally wise. We've won the Champions League, and to put into context, like Matt says, like, you know, we're coming on the back of like, what, three finals now, European finals, improving every year. We also knew or known, if we didn't know then when we hired him, we know now that Klopp is a coach, and he's a very hands-on type coach where he believes in coaching. He doesn't believe like Mourinho or some would say Pep, even though I think Pep's an elite coach. But he doesn't believe in just solely buying to fix problems. And if we analyze it overall, he's fixed quite a few problems. Yes, he's bought to fix a lot of problems, but a lot of the problems he's solved with his coaching ability and his coaching staff's ability in terms of the setup of the team and how we operate and how we don't rely on one player now anymore. Like we used to rely on Suarez and then Coutinho after that. I think it's fair to say we don't rely on one player now. So, you know, as soon as we won that Champions League, everyone was on a high end saying, oh, in Klopp we trust, Edwards, what a man, etc., etc. And as the summer's going, it's just natural for some fans just to start clamoring for transfers. Now, some would throw it back in my face and say, well, you're the one who fucking gives us all this hype about, you know, we're signing it. Well, no, I don't say X, Y, Z. I tell people from what I hear of who we're linked with, who we might sign. Now, ultimately, it's up to Klopp and, you know, as influential as I am, ultimately, it's up to Klopp and Cole to decide if they want to play.
As influential as you are. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, as influential. as influential as I am.
Yeah.
Right, ultimately, it's up to, you know, as Matt says, the people that know way more than any of us if we do need player X, Y, Z. Now, I totally understand the frustration, though, because we're coming from we could be recruiting from a point of strength now. This is the strongest we've been as a club in terms of, you know, players that want to come to us. What's the word I'm looking for?
Appeal.
Proposition. We're a very attractive proposition to players. And I believe firmly that we should capitalize on that. But that's just as a fan who wants, you know, us not to stand still from a layman's point of view. Plans may be into place where we're not looking to stand still. We are looking to improve, and Klopp believes his coaching will make us improve. Also added to the fact, as yeah, the old cliche, a lot of those players will be like new signings.
Yeah, but
so it's more frustration. It could be if we don't bring in someone. I still firmly believe we bring in someone. I have an idea who I think it might be or thought it might be.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the end of the day, we see what happens. If he doesn't, look, if you're going to say to me, if we don't bring anyone in, will I be pissed off? No. I'll be frustrated.
Okay. I wouldn't be frustrated. I wouldn't be pissed off. I would have a slight concern. Like, you know.
Also, as well.
Yeah,
go on.
Go ahead before I go.
I was going to say, the problem is, I mean, Klopp and Edwards, obviously, they know who they want. If they're available, they'll get him. The issue is, if we panic and go out and buy someone just for the sake of buying, then a lot of time you get stuck with a player, generally on high wages, who you can't get rid of. Look at, like, Andy Carroll and Aquilani and all these players we've had in the past and made mistakes by panic buying. And then they've caused us shit and tied up wages. You want
to
look at...
They're probably the best examples, yeah. They're probably the best examples of panic buyers, Matt, actually.
I would rather not sign anyone than make a bad signing. And at the moment, for the last 3-4 years, we haven't been making bad signings. So, which I'm just... Me personally, I understand why people do want a player. But for me personally, I'd rather sign no one than someone bad.
Can I give a counter-argument to that, Matt? I mean, I kind of agree to you, but a lot of fans will say, and I'm probably in there, right, and say, we're now in a position of financial strength where we can take a risk, Matt.
A risk on the right player, not a risk on the bad player. That's what I'm saying. There'll be a list. Edward, yeah, I know, but you minimise that risk. Edwards and Klopp will have a top three, top four for each position. If they're not available, do you go and get someone who could be okay but not in the top four?
I know that.
No, I don't believe that. If that's the case, then of course, fair enough, we don't. But I don't think us as a proposition, us in the financial state we're in, that we would have to revert to our third or fourth choices. That's just my opinion.
Well, it's my opinion that from the start of the summer, like, you have made good points there, and look, there's loads of people making great points on the comments here, and I'm not ignoring them. It's just there's so many of them. I'm trying to keep up with them as I go. So remembering names is quite hard when they're lashing up the screen at, you know, 20 messages every 5 seconds.
Where's Tino when you need it?
Well, people are asking there, like, what's the name? You know, what name do you think it is? What name do you think? Look, I can tell you. Not, I'm not speaking for these two lads. What I've seen and read and think, I think Pepe is the most viable of these transfers. I think there's been so much said about him that there has to be something there. I think Lille, isn't it Lille he plays for? I think Lille have put certain comments out and to make it look like a lot of interest in him, and now it's gone all very quiet on that. For me, it would be Pepe, just reading between some sort of line, as to if it was my personal opinion on what's the most viable or the most likely to happen, I think it would be Pepe. But look, going back to, and the reason I say that is because...
Can I just give my context on Pepe? Because I've seen a lot of comments and some questions on Twitter.
I will get to my opinion on this squad sometime tonight. Go on.
No, go on.
No, come on. You can give your bit on Pepe.
Hey, Mick's got a good panic buy, Balotelli.
Yeah, brilliant panic buy. And it wasn't even a panic buy.
Nice one, Mick.
It was panic mixed with you can have him or Samuel Eto'o, I think it was at the time. But look, I get on to what I think, right? At the end of last season, we were and still are European cup holders, right? You look at it and you think Moreno's goals and Sturridge goals, fairly mainstays in the squad. That's agreed by all, right? Not play many games, Moreno in particular. He has that option and he doesn't use it. I think he would have liked to use it a little bit more, but didn't trust the player. That's my opinion on it, right? He loses Sturridge and Brewster comes in. I've no issue with that because I think Brewster will offer more to us than Sturridge did. The Sturridge of last season. All right, so I've no issue with that. The left back thing, I think he should go and do something because it makes sense to be able to give Robertson that rest because he's so all action and played probably 95% of the games last season. He will need a rest. The thing is, the front three are going on. All of them now will be going into probably their second full year of football without any kind of massive break, 2-3 weeks max. All right, we need something there. Now, don't get me wrong, if we don't sign something there or anything before the season starts, I do look at the squad and go, Oxlade-Chamberlain is a bonus for this season because we missed him last and look sharp so far. You know, Keita, another season, a season behind him, looks good, right? I've no problem with that. But we've a couple of players, and Oxlade-Chamberlain, Keita come into that along with the likes of Gomez that have had injuries and you're relying on them not to get an injury in order for this squad to be strengthened. Okay? If there's an injury or two there, the squad is still really, really good, achieved an awful lot, but I would like to see somebody come in, preferably in the attacking positions, so the front three can be given a rest, because I still think the drop to Brewster and Origi is that little bit too much. I want somebody that you want to put in. So
I agree.
So when it comes to August the 8th or whatever this window shuts, if Liverpool are sitting with the squad that they have now, I'm perfectly fine with that. On the provision that Gomez, Keita, Oxlade-Chamberlain, all these players have a full season of fitness because we're dropping off then. We're dropping off if these boys go missing. If we get to the 8th of August and we've signed an attacking player, I'm over the moon because it's another string to our bow and it means that we can pick and choose a little bit more at different parts of the season to make us stronger throughout the season and towards the end when it goes, you know, when we get to the business end of it. So I'm not panicking. I wouldn't be frustrated. I just have a slight concern. And I've always said it, in a position of strength, you strengthen all the time, just whenever you can. But I take Matt's point that you don't go out and panic, boy. You have to buy the right player at the right time. That's the way I see it.
One last thing. We all say we need a striker, even me. Not striker, someone who can interchange.
Somebody said there, so that means you're not happy with the squad. No. I'm perfectly happy with the squad. Perfectly happy with the squad. But there is one or two provisions that you have to look at within this squad in order for me to say, yeah, absolutely bang on. And that means probably players getting through the season fit. If they fall off, you may have an issue. That's just like the clarify that. Go ahead, Matt.
Louis Bolly's just said exactly what I was about to say. Everyone's saying we need someone in the front three, which I agree with. I would like someone up there. But I watched that Barca game again yesterday and I realised we didn't even have Salah or Bobby.
Yeah.
And we beat them 4-0. Mm-hmm. So we all think the drop-off's massive. But is it really that big? I mean, I haven't had a look at the stats.
On one game, you'd probably get away with it. But I think if, say, for argument's sake, Firmino and let's say Firmino and Mane go down for 6 weeks each at the same time, I know the chances of it happen are limited. But I think the output from Origi and Brewster compared to them two over 6 weeks could make you suffer.
Maybe, but that would happen to any team. Even if we brought a new player in and we had Mane and Firmino out for 6 weeks, we'd still see a drop off.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, I know, but what I'm saying is, it's all very well having a drop off. Like you will have a drop off of Origi and Brewster. I just want, if it was to happen, I want somebody that is probably more versatile than either of them, because Origi is okay off the left. He's more of a striker. Brewster is most definitely a front man. I would just like somebody that's more versatile than them and will be really pushing the front three, because let's be honest about it, everyone fit, Brewster and Origi, all things being equal, don't stand a fucking chance of getting into where side of them three are fit. I want somebody that will push these three, and by pushing them, it means that if one of them does have a little, you know, a little niggle or something, you're really happy and really confident with this guy going in for not just one game, two, three, four games. That's what I'm looking at. Oh, anything on the Sancho rumours, we're going to get that in a minute as well. Come on.
I think we've covered this, you know, need for a wide attacker or multifunctional forward or whatever. I think we've covered it since the start of the transfer window. I think there's no one will say we don't need another body in there, right? Except maybe Klopp and Edwards, right? But even them, I don't think it's they're trying, you know. We know they're trying. We know they're trying because of the inquiries they've made for the likes of Pepe and et cetera, et cetera. And the Sancho, what we may cover later. So as Matt says, you know, we're in a position of strength and people know this. And people also know that we've got money. I think we're playing smart. This is totally my opinion with a bit of solid info, right? But I know we're not sitting there not doing F4 and resting on our laurels. It's just not Edwards or Klopp to do that. And for us not to trust them, I think is mad. It's absolutely mad for us to think they're sitting on their hands, not doing anything or trying things. We're just being smart, and we've always been smart. We've seen, as we've given examples of what happens when we panic, or the likes of what Man United are doing now and sort of Madrid, whatever. We're not that club. We're not that kind of setup. We're pushing. We're playing smart. And we played smart and we got VVD in the end. We played smart and we got Alisson in the end and Keita. I firmly believe we're shopping smart again and we'll get who we want in the end.
Okay.
Which is?
Big Joe Gomez says, Grace, can you give us some context for your opinions on Pepe? You really have to answer that because he's put context in the question. And it's your favourite word.
Okay, so I'm just going to give what I think or what our situation with Pepe is, and then, you know, that's it. It's just an opinion. Yeah? There's no facts involved, right? People got to establish that, right? Some opinions may be informed than others, but they're opinions. So when people jump on my head, shut your mouths, right? So the situation is Pepe is...
You're getting very upset.
We aggressive.
Very upset and aggressive. Go on.
I didn't eat properly today. Right, that portion
that's
I showed
you. That's because you're on a paddle boat, you fucking madman.
There was not enough meat on that plate. Pepe situation is, I believe he wants us above any other team. The problem, the situation is his coach, they've tried to get us in an auction. We've done exactly what we've done with Hernandez. We've walked away. We're not getting involved in auctions this year. We don't need to start outbidding. You know, when the prices start getting 70 million for Pepe, we're not interested. We know he wants us. We're in the hope. In my opinion, we're in the hope that he tells them that he only wants Liverpool. And it's very similar to the Alisson deal where, you know, eventually his club realised, okay, nobody else, he doesn't want to go to anybody else and nobody else willing to pay that kind of money for him. It's Liverpool or bust. Player wants us. It's up to us if we strike a deal. In my opinion, that's the situation. That's as far as I think the situation is. We're biding our time. If they want to come back to the table and say, yeah, all right, no problem. You know, I think, in my opinion, if you're talking figures, we're looking at around 50 million we were looking to pay for him. Teams are offering more than that. He's saying no to everyone. The likes of Napoli, he's not interested in them. He only wants us. PSG are not interested in him. He may want PSG ahead of us, but there's nothing else to it. It's just a matter of we're not getting into auctions. That's why we've denied all interest. We're not, because, you know, we're not interested. I think a lot of journalists have been playing with words. We're not interested. The reason why we're not interested is that price. We're not interested at that price. So, you know, thank you very much. When a chairman and the owner of the club and the coach have come out and the top journalists in France and said Liverpool are interested and have inquired and have had talks, then you know there is something there. Because the owner and the coach wouldn't say there's been talks with our player if there's no, you know what I mean? There's no smoke without fire. We're denying everything just like because of our past history and what's been going on. So that's the situation with Pepe at the moment. It's in limbo.
All right. Just one more answer. The window closes on the 8th. I'm going to say the 8th. I have the 8th in my head for some reason. I could be wrong there. Someone might correct me on that. But Liverpool gets the 8th and the window closes. Between now and then, how many signings do we make, Chris? Just give me an answer.
One.
Matt?
Two.
Yeah, I'm staying on two. I'm staying on two. Someone's made a point there, and it has to be always remembered. Why would there be panic? You know, it's transfer windows are planned well in advance. I still have this feeling that we hadn't got, you know, three positions with six players on each list. I think we had three players, and if they came available, we would absolutely go for it. I'm sticking by that. I could be way off the mark, but I'm going to stick by that. Lads, Jadon Sancho, he played against us the other night. He done okay. He's a massive prospect. He was with City as a young player, am I right? He goes to Dortmund to get some first team football. He explodes over there. He's in the England side now. He's pushing to become a proper regular there. There was word came out last night through different people that this could be a deal that Liverpool are looking to do this summer for a transfer to happen next summer, a little bit like Naby Keita. Matt, what do you feel on this Jadon Sancho and this kind of rumour that's going about? Do you think there's anything in it?
I don't know. It hasn't come from any journalists in Germany. At the moment, with Liverpool, the local journalists aren't getting told anything. This is what it looks like anyway. It looks like it's completely shut up shop. So you've got to look at the foreign journalists. You look at the ones in France and the Pepe talk, etc. And it looks promising. There's nothing coming from Germany at the moment. Saying that does mean it's not true. So I don't know. I haven't seen anything really about that. Just two lads on Twitter who look like they're saying it's done for next season. If it is, I would fucking love him. I love him as a player. I think he'll be perfect for us. He's the perfect Klopp mould, and it's what all the fans are crying out for, a dynamic attacker.
Well, now.
So, yeah, right now, not next season. But again, like Keita, you take it rather than not getting him, I think. If it's this or nothing, you go for this. And it might be it.
Okay. Gary Paul, I think is the guy's name, which just popped off my screen there. He says, if we do something along these lines, with the Jadon Sancho for next season, does it mean that somebody leaves Mane or Salah? Griz, do you want to take that one before you give your opinion?
Not necessarily. I know the pessimistic fans or, you know, the slightly insecure fans will say straight away, oh, that means Salah's gone. It doesn't mean that. No one really knows what's going to happen next year. You know, that's mad.
We're not selling anyone this summer. Yeah. We're not selling anyone.
I think if we do a deal for Jadon Sancho for next summer, it would mean that one of our front three will be leaving next summer. I just wanted to see if you agree with that.
That's just pure... You know, being totally, totally sort of insecure about our situation and how strong Klopp has affinity with the player and sort of players not wanting to, you know, stay there for long. So we can't, talk about that too much yet. What I can say is about the Sancho link. Last week I heard we're trying to do a kind of a deal, you know, Naby Keita style deal for a kid from Bundesliga. Now, I'm going to admit I didn't have a name. I automatically thought and assumed, because there was a lot of talk on Twitter, is that Kai Havertz chap from Bayer Leverkusen. Because I wasn't given a name, someone who I do trust, but he wouldn't give me a name. The name is actually Jadon Sancho is the guy we're trying to sign for next season. We've actually tried to sign him for this season, which again shows we are being active and we are doing things behind the back, There was no chance his club let him go. Dortmund let him go in the same season as Pulisic. So, but as we know, Dortmund are a selling club ultimately. So we are in the process of trying to do some sort of deal for next summer. For I thought it was for Kai Havertz, but it's not. It's actually Jadon Sancho. Again, a lot of frustration. A lot of fans will be frustrated that why can't we do it? Well, it's not possible, is it? If some things are not possible, that's why, we can't criticize too much because sometimes, but the link is, in my opinion, the link is very, very true. It's from a reliable, very reliable source.
Okay. I think it was Mikey asked there, could we talk tomorrow about the stadium expansion, i.e. the Anfield Road end and the Nike short deal? Yes, I will most definitely talk about that tomorrow, Monday. Monday's tomorrow, yeah, 10 p.m. Come on there and give us your views on that. I will write that down and definitely speak about that. Matt, does somebody leave if we do this deal? Say for look, let's be honest. Say we do a deal for Jadon Sancho and he's signing on the 4th of July next year. Does that to you trigger a thought that, well, one of the front three must be gone? Or do we need to look further and go, no, hold on, that just makes our squad much, much stronger and we're keeping what we have?
Nah, if someone's going, they're going to go whatever. If someone like Salah or Mane is going to go next summer, it's not because we're getting someone in. It's because someone like Real Madrid's made a bid of 190 million for them and they've turned their head. One thing doesn't affect the other, but they both can happen and they both might not. I don't think we plan our club and our transfers on big players going anymore. It's not what we do. So for me, it's just a negative way to look at a good positive, and I won't be doing it. If they go, they go. It's nothing to do with Sancho for next season.
Okay, my thoughts on it. It's come out over the last day or two. I'd be surprised to see us announce something on Jadon Sancho between now and the end of the transfer window for next season. But we never know. Jadon Sancho could be telling his club that he wants to leave next year and they're going to do the best deal they can. You never know. Paul Tabley's asking there about what about Philippe Max for left back. We discussed that the other night. I think Grizz was telling us that he really likes him. He's seen him 5 or 6 times. He was telling Andy on when we were watching the match as well the other night. But Grizz touched on something there, you know, about players. You know, when Klopp has an affinity to them and a like for them and stuff like that, that brings you back to Ousmane Dembele. It's gone very quiet on Ousmane Dembele and Philippe Coutinho and the Neymar thing. You know, it's one of those situations that's gone really quiet.
It's brewing, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if it's even brewing because you'd usually be getting some sort of information out. The last we had was a couple of days ago where, Shoaib Mohammed says Dembele is the perfect player for us. Oh, yeah, absolutely agree. I don't know if it's brewing. There might be something happening in the background, but I think if, you know, the Jadon Sancho thing might be true, I just keep thinking back to the Ousmane Dembele simply because, like you said, when Klopp likes somebody, he sticks with them and he stays with them until he can get hold of them. So we'll have to go and see on that. Where are we going now? We've touched on Jadon Sancho. We've touched on transfers, the panic, the bits and pieces. Anything else, lads, before we go? Have you got anything else you'd like to discuss? Grizz?
Who's your preferred midfield three for the season?
I'm looking forward to today's game. Preferred midfield. I am actually looking forward. I do actually look forward to pre-season, and as the quality of the opposition gets sort of better and better, I'd like to see how we step up as well. So I'm actually looking forward to the game, maybe watching it with you later. We try to stick to the football this time. But
No, we're not.
I try, innit?
Sorry, Michael Case says that the Neymar deal is stalling because Coutinho not wanting to move to PSG. That's really, really possible. That's a possible explanation. Oh, sorry, yeah, there's a good question here. Sorry, Grizz, to cut across you. Gareth Bale, right? I wanted to talk about this. Gareth Bale, I don't know if anyone knows how many years he has on his contract. I did see a quote from a while ago saying, if I don't get the wages I'm on now, I'll just play golf until...
I think it's 2 years, isn't it? 2 years, 500 grand.
Yeah, and he's basically said he'd play golf for 2 years if no one would pay him that sort of money. Matt, is Gareth Bale an option?
No, not for that. Not for them wages. It's not worth it. I had a look. Since 16-17 season, he's missed 258 days through injury.
Right.
We're looking at getting players in. What?
8.5 months. 8.5 calendar months, basically.
Ah, it's ridiculous. We're looking at getting someone in. And what's the point of getting someone in if he's if he's injured? Might as well just keep Lallana. No, it's not for me. Not a 500 grand. If Madrid want to pay 420 grand of it, then I'll take him. Otherwise, nah, he can fuck off.
Yeah, Kevin Sullivan says Bale has 3 years left on his deal, which makes it even more difficult. Sorry, Grizz, I just wanted to touch on that before, because it just popped up today. But what were you saying, Grizz? Go on, walk away. Sorry for interrupting you.
It's just okay.
He's forgotten how. He's just placed his order on Just Eat.
I have.
Delivery.
Enough meat earlier.
He's got chicken on the brain. Earlier.
No, I mean, Matt asked the question because he was bored about what would be our strongest midfield if everyone's fit, something like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Your preferred midfield three? We go with that.
Yeah, it's a bit of a stupid question, you know. I mean,
I bet you're going to answer.
It's a stupid question because the answer is, you know, it all depends on the game, the situation, what different tactics for different teams, for different matches.
All right, we're playing 4-3-3 against United away. Who's your fucking midfield three?
Yeah,
when he starts snapping, you know, when he starts swearing at, who's your fucking midfield three? So basically, if we're playing Man United, from Man United away, midfield three for me would be straightforward enough would be Fabinho, Hendo, and Gin.
Okay. Mine would be.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon.
No, done.
Sorry, done.
No, done. Solid info, done. Gav.
Ox is back, isn't he?
Gav.
Fabinho.
Interesting.
Fabinho.
Ox for who?
Ox for Hendo.
Okay. Mine would be.
Cool.
Everyone fit, everyone ready to go. Fabinho, Wijnaldum, Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Football man.
That's what I go with. Because I'm thinking what we'd be up against United away and stuff like that. But look, that's where your squad comes down for it. You'll probably get 10 people and they probably give you about 6 or 7 different answers out of them 10, which is fair enough.
Probably. What's yours, Matt?
Well, yeah, you haven't even asked for fucking three here. Talking about 10 people. Cunt. I would go Fab.
Sorry, Matt. Sorry.
Genie, because I love him.
Yeah.
And Keita.
Yeah, you see, that's the one where I think Fabinho nails it. I think you're looking at Wijnaldum.
Away to United.
Well,
fuck United. Away to City. That's like the ultimate away game for us.
Okay.
No, United's fine. We'll see. Look, I'll tell you why. Ox is very, very good going forward.
Michael Kay says Ox can't train after a game. I wouldn't count on him yet.
Yeah, well, Ox is better going forward. But, Kate is very good from what we saw at Leipzig, but we haven't seen it at Liverpool yet, only in glimpses. But Keita's pressing and his work is tracking back and as the team is better than Ox's, and that's why I'd go for him.
Well, we probably need to play two left wingers and two left backs because Wan-Bissaka is better than fucking Pelé, apparently. he loses the ball and then he chases the ball and then he kicks her out for a corner. The funniest one was the video from their training, and he literally just passes the ball inside. Some fella kicks her in the goal and one fella puts it up on Twitter. Another assist for Wan-Bissaka. Fucking brilliant.
All right, so we've done Man City away. What's your midfield for... Name one of the teams that's promoted.
Norwich.
I should have. We've done this.
Norwich City at
Move
home.
Move on, Gav. Shut up, no. Chris.
Norwich City at home. Lallana in the six.
What's your midfield three for Norwich City at home?
Lallana in the six. Lallana in the six. Milner and
Milner in the channels.
And Henderson.
No. Norwich at home would be Fabinho, Lallana, and Keita.
Right, it won't be because Lallana doesn't exist.
Lallana, Grukic, and Milner.
Grukic, yeah, they have to call him back in emergency loan, return on emergency. But look, up above my head over here, the lads can't see it, but there's a YouTube ticker. It tells you the subscriptions we have on YouTube. If we get that to 1,500, Grizz is going to sing a song live like he did doing E17 last Christmas, I think it was. If it gets to 2,000, Grizz will promise never to sing again. That's how it's going to work. As I said before, anyone watching this, I always ask you to share on Periscope, tell people about YouTube, subscribe on YouTube. You will need to subscribe to YouTube for the match later on. We are only doing this on YouTube later on, okay? Go to YouTube, go to LFC Day Trippers, hit the subscribe button, hit the little bell note, the bell symbol there. That'll give you notification that we're going live. We're going to, myself and Grizz, we'll see if Andy is still knocking around with a carton of red wine or whatever he was trying to drink the other night. And we'll get on, we'll watch this match, we'll have a chat while we're watching it, and we'll try to do some commentary, and Grizz wants to do analysis. We'll do all the proper analysis at halftime and stuff. But if you go to YouTube, click on LFC Day Trippers, subscribe, and we will be live from 10 to 11 Irish time next week, later on tonight. And we'll watch the game only on YouTube later on, okay? So if you're not following us on or subscribed on YouTube, go and do it now, and we'll talk to you at 10 to 11 later on tonight. Bring a beer, bring whatever you want. I'll try to tell Andy not to bring crisps because he was munching away on something the other night and it was very annoying. But now that's been the Fatback for tonight. 51 minutes. We're really good at timing this now. Matt, any other business before you go?
No.
All right. I love you. I'll talk to you next week. Grizz, any other business before you go?
No, I'm going to see your stupid face in a couple of hours.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. And I'll see yours. I love you too. That's been the Fatback 4. Thanks a million for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe to YouTube for the game later on. We will watch it. We're only doing this during pre-season. We're not going to do this for every game. We're only doing it for a laugh. But we'll talk to you then. Have a good one. Over and out.
Turn off your laptop. We're on staycation.
I'm on TotalWine.com. They have so many rosés, chardonnays, and proseccos. It feels like a real vacation.
Wondrous selection, helpful guides, ridiculously low prices. Total Wine and more.
All this week on NBC4, new products to new technology. Susan Hogan is showing you how local restaurants are changing the way we dine in and take out in this new world. Tonight at 6.
A new twist on outdoor eating.
A lot of it is creating flexibility.
How one local restaurant is making their outdoor space mobile, giving you plenty of sunshine and social distance for a stress-free meal.
It's all part of restaurant revitalization. Tonight at 6 on NBC4, working for you.
Sports Social Podcast Network.